Good afternoon. My name is Gino Dong. I come from Oklahoma State University, and this work is a cooperation with Dr. Jason Patton and Dr. Tyson Auctioner. Today I'm going to talk about some spatial patterns of soil moisture at the mesoscale. And the title is pretty vague, and I'm sorry about that, but this talk is actually about the cosmic ray neutron probes by the rover. And I believe most of you have heard about this technology, but for who have not heard about it, I'm going to introduce this the rover in a few slides. When it comes to the soil moisture measurements, it is always said that there is a huge scale gap on the soil moisture measurements. If I use this big square to represent a pixel from a remote sensing image, then for the in situ soil moisture sensor, the footprint of the sensor won't show up on the slide. And there are about five orders of magnitude in between. But what we are really interested in is the soil moisture pattern that right in between this gap, like the ecological modeling, like land use management, we need a lot of information of soil moisture patterns at this scale. That's why we always want to bridge this gap. And I will do a brief and quick introduction to the rover. As you know, the cosmic rays are from the outer space, and while they are penetrating the atmosphere of the Earth, they can interact with the molecules in the atmosphere, and this process can generate a lot of fast neutrons. While the fast neutrons travel down to the Earth, they can be slowed down significantly by the hydrogen atoms, and those atoms are most of them are in the form of water. So actually, the amount of water can decide how much fast neutrons can be slowed down. So this newly developed technology, the cosmic ray neutron probes, can characterize the soil moisture content with the neutron counts. So the more neutron counts we have, the less soil moisture it is. And it turns out that this technology, the footprint of this technology is about 400 meter diameter. So it's the scale is right in between the remote sensing and the in situ soil moisture sensors. And after we got this device, we came up with this idea to design a transect to explore the soil moisture patterns at the mesoscale. And this transect was designed by Dr. Jason Patton, and it passes four mesonet stations. It starts from Perkins and ends at La Homa. And there are some more details about this transect. It's about 150 kilometers, and there are about 190 points. And the pixel size is about 800 meters. We chose this pixel size because we drove this rover at the speed of 30 miles per hour, and for every minute, the rover will move about 800 meters. And this background picture just gives you some basic ideas about how the fast neutron cloud look like. And the rover, we just drove the rover through this fast neutron cloud and detect them and count them. And in the next few slides, I'm going to show you some almost the raw data along the transect, the fast neutron counts, and see what pattern we can find. First we have to do the calibration. We collected 14 cores per site at the four mesonet stations, and this calibration function is called shape-defining function. There's only one parameter we need to estimate. It's called N-naught. And after estimating this N-naught, we plug the anode back into the function and use this function to convert the neutron counts to soil moisture. And here is the neutron counts figures. It's the neutron counts along the along the 150 kilometer transect. And I think the most important feature of this figure is that at the last one third of the transect, the fast neutron count is always higher than the rest of the transect, except the first one, because we changed the route after the first transect. So we didn't perceive this feature in the first transect, and we think that maybe it's because the soil texture, because the second transect we use, the last one third of the transect passed through the Cimarron River terrace, and the texture, soil texture is very coarse at there, and it's very sandy. So at this scale, the soil texture really matters, and we cannot treat the lattice water content as a constant along the transect. So the next we need to convert the fast neutron counts to soil moisture. We did a regression about the clay content with lattice water content, and we plotted this lattice water content along the transect. The lattice water is highly related to this clay content, and after subtracting the lattice water content, finally we got the soil moisture, volumetric soil moisture content along the transect. And you can see that the feature at the last one third of the transect is still there. And I also put the sand content on the upper right corner, so you can compare the sand content with the soil moisture content along the transect. And this is, you can see that it's very high at the last one third of the transect. And to further explore the spatial pattern of the soil moisture, we also plotted the variograms for each transect. And because of the variogram that I highlighted, the other variograms seem pretty flat, because the highlighted one, the semivariance is very high, and it keeps increasing all the way along the lag distance, which means the field is not stationary. And actually, I checked the weather data. It's one day before this survey, the first half of the transect received a lot of rain, but the second half of the transect received almost nothing. So if we chose any two points along on the transect, the further that the two points apart, the higher semivariance we can get. So, and another implication of this variogram is that it's pretty dynamic. The semivariogram, the spatial structure, really depends on the soil moisture conditions. And the last is we explore the soil moisture pattern using the power law decays. We try to mimic the research from Rodriguez Iturbe 1996, and we use the same method, and we kind of catch the same feature. It's about soil moisture aggregation feature. I won't explain a lot of details about this figure, but we kind of have the same feature. But once we plot all for the power law decay for all transects, the shapes are pretty similar, but it can shift from very low variance to very high. So this also reconfirms that this soil moisture spatial patterns can be very dynamic. It depends on the soil moisture conditions. And to wrap up, this rover calibration, we use only one calibration equation, and for the whole transect, and the lattice, we treat the lattice water as a variable. And for rover application, the effects of soil texture and precipitation of soil moisture at this scale have been perceived. And for the spatial patterns, the soil moisture structure is pretty dynamic at this scale. And the large scale atmospheric forcing and the small scale land surface variability, those two forces can control the soil moisture spatial patterns, but we cannot catch this transition at this scale. But sometimes they are controlled by the large scale force, sometimes it can be controlled by the small scale land surface variability. And thank you for listening.
Do we have any questions for Gino?
The question is it possible to get a final resolution along the driving direction? Actually, we did some kind of, it's like a reprojection about the rover data, because since we are driving, the pixel is, the real pixel is like a hot dog shape, it's about 800 meters long and 400 meters wide, and we can reproject, algorithmically, we can reproject the data into like finer resolution, but I don't think it can be finer than 400 meters, because it depends on the device itself.
All right, any other questions? I'll have a quick one for you. When you did your semivariograms, did you, on the day that you are basically non-stationary, did you remove a trend across space?
No, okay. Because it's one-dimensional and...
Across your transect, did you remove any trend? Usually, you said it rained in part of it, which...
Yeah.
I think it means that part of your you basically are bimodal in your distribution, which can blow up your semivariogram. So that might be why that one is bad. But your power law decay, you were doing is that the aggregation?
Yes.
So have you thought of about applying spectral, looking at the spectra or looking at wavelet decomposition?
Maybe.
That'll be like a next step?
Yeah, that will be next step.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. And if you have any more questions, Gina will be in the back shortly.